Chapter 5. The drive to Glasgow cast up more images of Gail. Gilchrist had thought, perhaps even hoped, that at the moment of her passing he and Gail would somehow make peace with each other, for the memories they shared, for the love they once had, for the children they brought into the world. From the moment he first set eyes on her, he had loved her. He had loved her cheeky irreverence of things authoritarian. When they had staggered across the golf course, and she stepped from her knickers in the Valley of Sin and giggled at the look on his face as she lay down on the damp grass, he had loved the simple symbolism of that action. "This is my life," she was saying to him. "No one can tell me what to do. Come share it with me." He had loved her for that. He had loved her through a short but torrid courtship and 19 difficult years of marriage that swung with discomforting ease from passionate to indifferent. He loved her still. He would always love her. But the truth was that Gail's love for him had changed like the clicking of a switch. She had cast him off like an old winter coat as she welcomed the fresh summer winds of her new lover, Harry. Harry. God, how he hated the sound of that name, a name that cast up images of extramarital sex behind locked doors in the hospital administration building, rushed and desperate and kept out of sight of all and sundry. But although he had not once strayed, Gilchrist saw that his love affair with his job had caused the death of his marriage. When Gail's affair started, their marriage was already dead. That thought calmed him. Detective Chief Inspector Andrew James Gilchrist of the St. Andrew's Division of Fife Constabulary's Crime Management Department had no one to blame but himself. He had just slipped onto the M876 when his mobile rang from a number he did not recognize. "You're a hard man to track down." He grimaced at the American accent. "And you're a hard woman to lose."